All right, welcome. This is Orion Rising. I am your host, Leonard O'Neill. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good morrow, depending on where in the world you are tuning into this show. Share this out. Welcome, everybody. We are here today live on a Thursday with no prompting whatsoever and no advertisement. Welcome to anybody who's out there. Say hello. We don't know you're in the audience. I see Tyler is out there. I see Denise out there. You guys are talking, so I can see you. Share this out. Like I said, please share this out to the world. Right. I am here today with Melinda. You can see her right there, Melinda Williams. We have her on here because she is a spectacular person that it became way recommended to me a while ago now. And her and I haven't really had a lot of conversations, but she's in a couple of the chat groups that we share in common and a couple of the groups we share in common and quite a few friends we share in common. Right. And I got to talking to her and Peter, who's not here. I don't know where he is. Peter GV from South Africa. It's late for him. He's probably sleeping because we picked the time that I think he's in sleep, but he wanted to be here too. He'll have to end up watching it afterwards. He doesn't like watching my show at night before he goes to bed, because he says it makes him think too much and he can't sleep. So he always wakes up in the morning and he catches it there. So I hope that we're going to do the same thing today with Melinda that I'll end up doing tomorrow again with the Law of One when we talk. And poor Peter will have a couple of days worth of stuff that he has to listen to, right? So Melinda's here and I didn't have time. I was running crazy. I even told her, and I don't have your bio pulled up. So what we'll do is I'm going to do what I normally did when I was interviewing all the time, which I've cut way back on doing any interviews because I'm doing teaching. You guys know that if you know anything about what I'm doing behind the scenes and what's going on, I'm doing that and focusing more on that than I am interviewing. But on the rare occasion, you know that I do pop in and do producing and do interviewing. Melinda's one of those exceptions, and you're going to get to know her if you don't already. Those of you who know her out there and you're her fans, thank you for tuning in wherever in the world you are tuning into the show. And share this out to your friends as well. And for those of you who don't know who Melinda is, you're about to learn, okay? So let me just go to Melinda. And Melinda, because I don't have your bio up, I apologize for that. I should have pulled that up when I was pulling up the other image, and I could have been reading that to the people. Please give them your background, because her background, guys, is not just a normal background of, well, you know, I kind of learned this and that. And it started for her at a very young age. And she was like me, I was 8 and click, a light bulb went on and I went, what is going on? And apparently she had the same sort of experience. So I'll shut up and let Melinda take it over and tell them the story about how that happened, when it happened, how you were triggered and then go into details, you know what I mean, about that and your progression. Okay.
Okay, so the earliest was 7 that I recall. And basically what happened was, you know, I would see spirits around here and there, but then there was 2 things that triggered. I had a near-death experience. And then when I was in school, I was 7, and I had a classmate that got killed. And so then we were in class, and the teacher was standing up there telling us, you know, she had bad news to tell us that, you know, she had passed and she was in a car accident. And I'm like, no, she's sitting at her desk. You know, she's here. And she was like, no, Melinda. And I'm like, no, she is sitting here. And so then, of course, she sent me to the principal's office because I was like speaking out of turn and, but I could see her.
Yeah.
And so that was the earliest. Then I had the near-death experience also shortly after that, got through that. And then I was off seeing spirit from a continuance from that. Then as I got older, where I was raised, and I'll explain that in a minute. I was raised here in Tennessee and, it was not allowed. The people that raised me was telling me, you know, it's the devil's work and that's what was taking over me and all of this stuff. Yeah. And so I had to keep it quiet. I kept it on a down low. And then as I got older and got of age, I left and I found my real family, which ended up being Native American. And my mom could do the same thing. My twin brother could do the same thing.
Nice.
But I was, you know, now currently what I do is I do psychic detective work. That's my main thing in this line of stuff that I do. But I do card readings. And I do, connections to your loved ones, stuff like that. But my main target is psychic detective work. And that's been my whole life. I've done it all of my life and wouldn't trade it for anything. to me, it's not me that's doing it. It's a gift from the Creator. That's the way that I see it. So,
right. And see, now I want to stop her there really quickly, and I want to explain that to you guys, because this is very important to those of us that are in this industry. And let me explain that, because and why that one little thing that she just said, you have to realize her mindset is not I, me. It is I'm the conduit. This is something that is coming from the universe, and that I am able to use that and channel it through myself. That so you have to realize that, and I say this on air, and it kind of sucks because when I do say it on air, some people listen to it and they start doing it for nefarious reasons because they're lying to you. But this is important, because the mindset of a person who's doing things, if they're ego, that's going to come out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know Melinda, if you know me, you realize that I am always talking about that in some sense to you off air. But this is important to us, because that shows that Melinda is in service to others, and she's not full of herself. So because of that, her abilities are going to be way, way bigger and huger. That video that I was just watching and I talked about off air was talking about that very thing as well, by the way. So I wanted to stop right there, guys, and say that to you, that she just said that as a matter of factly, because she's being humble. But I want you guys to realize how big that actually is for somebody to be that humble in this industry, because we could get a God complex real quick by having power over people. And that's the difference between those in service to self having power over you and trying to control you, and those in service to others who know they have it and they're not using it for their own benefit. They're using it to help people. So please go ahead.
So then basically, you know, as I got older and I felt my real family and I learned everything that I did, I started incorporating through my mom, the Native American aspects. So I do incorporate that, but I do a lot of work. My biggest thing is, like I said, psychic detective work. I am doing a class on it. But there is just so much the joy I get in the whole situation of things is to help find closure for people that are, you know, families that's got missing loved ones or murdered loved ones. That's one of my biggest things. I'm very, very passionate about it. I didn't get to practice it, you know, back when I was younger, but I started working in law enforcement. I was a dispatcher, so I had used it in some aspects when I was a dispatcher.
Right.
Helping on different cases and different things like that. But, you know, here where I was raised, it was very limited because they didn't want it, you know, no. But there again, I found out, like I said, I was adopted. Mm-hmm. And my real family, I was called what's called a lost bird. And I was taken from my Native American family, sold and shipped through different areas. And then this is where I ended up with a family adopting me and raising me. It was very, very difficult. And as I got older, I couldn't understand a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Even while I was in school, you know, there was a couple of teachers that believed in me. They trusted what I was saying, I was seeing. And they was like, you're just going to have to keep it on the down low, because here it's not welcomed. It's nice, looked upon as something very bad.
That they didn't stifle you. They said, we know you have it. But my father said that to me when I was like 7, 8 years old. He literally said, okay, you know, I'm going to be teaching you now, but everything we talk about here, you cannot tell other people about, and you'll realize it when you become older and you become wiser, you'll understand why I'm doing this, because they don't understand this and they're trying to stop people from knowing this stuff. And so exactly. I like that you had a couple of teachers who were awake enough at that point to go, okay, shh.
Right. Yes. Right? They were amazing.
You're not, you're crazy and it's the devil. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, at first it was very devastating because I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was taken to a church and they were like doing this blessing or whatever they would call it. And I was like, you know, you guys, and this is where I was not allowed to go back to church. I stood up and I said, why are you guys telling me that I've got the devil in me? And I pointed at the preacher and I said, you're the one cheating on your wife. Yes, I did. I said that. I was not welcome there anymore after that, after I'd done that. So it was like, then I was really kept quiet. I had to, you know, even at school, like I said, there's a couple of teachers that would allow me to work on that. And and we would do it after school. And I still, you know, to me today, those two teachers were just everything to me.
Right.
Because they believed in me and they knew I wasn't making it up. And, you know, it's just been now that I've gotten older and I really work on it. I wouldn't trade it for anything because I want to help as much as I can while I'm here.
Right. I mean, and that shows there's two kind of people on the planet. You're either in service to self, or which would be that way actually left, and service to others, the right side of your body. And that is on the screen. I'm backwards to you guys.
Right.
But, so yeah, left hand, right hand, but you guys see it the other way around because I'm backwards. Right. That shows, you know, when your soul is in service to others, you're driven to be like that, and you want to do that. I've done work as well for the police department worldwide. And Peter, who was supposed to be here, I was hoping he was going to be here because he could speak to that too. Because he and I have worked together with several people helping the police departments all over the world, the United States and Interpol, many times. Probably not as much as you, because it seems like you were doing it full time where we were doing it when they would come to us. And so probably once every 3 or 4 months, maybe once every 6 months, we would get somebody from the world that was looking for someone, you know, a child or whatever. And even cold cases, they just solved one about down that area somewhere in the South where those two girls went missing. And that guy, the only thing they had was from her cell phone and his voice saying, you know, go down the stairs. And they disappeared and they were gone. They found their bodies and they didn't talk about exactly what had happened to them, to the world. But we were working on that case for like a year or more.
Right. Yes. Some cases will.
You know, and yeah, some of them, they'll take a while. They're not as quick people. It's not like television. That's why I want to bring that up. It's not like TV. TV's got an hour to give you a whole show.
Right.
That hour where there's a crime, there's the investigation, and then it's solved. It's written for kids somewhere between the ages of 8 and 12. That's what all the programming on television is written for. So quickly they have to solve the crime by the end of the hour, or you're not going to come back, or you may not come back for episode 2 or 3 or 4.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some cases I've been working on for like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's not something, some are harder to solve than others. And like I say, you know, I tell everybody, I'm not there to solve the case. That's the detective's job. That's not my job. I'm there to give like little nuggets, little
pieces. To give them the tools to be able to find
and it. And hopefully that'll lead to something that will help them to go in the right direction.
Yeah, that also is not like what you guys see on television. Reality is different than what you guys see in the movies, but similar a lot of the times in a way that is weird that you guys wouldn't think. And I laugh when I see that. You know, like when you watch, say, Lord of the Rings, and that one I liked better than any other movie because they didn't show like fireballs coming out of their hands and lights and lightning and all this stuff when they were fighting with magic. Shit was happening. Pardon my American. You know, things were happening to the people, but you never saw colors and flashes of light. And I was like, that's really more like it would be. Not with, you know, however, the whole lights and things I've done before as well. Where I didn't mean to, I made a fireball appear in my hand, and you see that a lot. That's one of those tricks they always try to show you on television. I actually did that and was like, whoa, you know, I didn't mean to do it. It happened. And everybody around me went, oh my God, he had a fireball in his hand. I had fire there and I thought it was going to burn me. And so I haven't done it since. So it's not something that I try to do or that we try to do, because it's kind of not the way physics works here, but on television, they have to show you visuals again because the storylines are written for people that are young. Even though if they tell you it's MC-17 or whatever it is these days, it's still when I wrote my book, I kept getting bothered by the people every time they'd look at it. Even though I was publishing it myself, they would say, you got to dumb it down. You got to change the verbiage. You have to write it for people who are in seventh grade reading level, because Americans, no matter how old they are, have about a seventh grade reading level. And if you give it too much above that, people are not going to like it. They're not going to understand it. And then I had somebody go, this looks like a seventh grader wrote it. And I was like, yeah, it does.
Right.
Not scientific research, pal. If it was, you wouldn't understand it. Look at the Law of One, for instance. If you guys know the Law of One and you've read any of those 6 books, that was scientific information given to a nuclear physicist. One of the reasons why I am the only person on this planet besides those six books, who has ever translated and talked about all six of those books in detail to tell you what it means. Because most people, they start and they only get three or four sessions in and they quit because they get lost.
Right.
Right. So why would you write a book like that? Well, it was written because it was written by a guy who was a nuclear physicist, and Raw talked to him that way. So it was Sheldon talking to Sheldon, and he wrote it that way. And if you don't know the math, if you don't understand it, you really won't figure out what Raw's trying to say. And even when you do, it's all going to be by your vibration. So we'll get into that too, because I want you to get into that kind of stuff as well, because I want them to realize that you don't just solve crimes or help solve crimes. There's a lot more to you than just that, but that's cool in and of itself. So I'm not trying to downplay that. I'm just trying to say, I think that's just the tip of the iceberg, because I think the cooler stuff is the other stuff that you do and the other stuff that you're working with and on. So let's get into some of that. Right. Like one of the girls said, I'm new here. Do you do readings?
Yes. Okay. So yes, I do card readings. Yeah,
first time here. Do you do readings? Now, I'm not trying to prompt you to do a reading. I'm just saying that's the kind of question that the crowd is starting to ask. Right.
So Denise is one of my moderators. I'm on every Saturday night. I do live card readings. I do flower readings. Usually the flower readings leads to a connection. Usually your loved one will come through. I do so many different kinds of readings. I do aura readings. I do object readings. I do, you name it, and I usually do it. Like I said, the most important thing to me is to teach others, because, you know, everybody is psychic, but not everybody's a medium.
Right.
And so, you know, I try to encourage others to use their gifts, because you can. You just have to be more open and be on that. And your vibration has to be at a certain level at all times to maintain, to be open all the time. You know, I hear some people say, well, hold on, for some reason, this is throwing me out on my screen and I don't know why. But
you probably got some notification. It happens to me too. If I'm on my phone, I get a notification.
Okay, yep. That's what it is. That's what it is. It just showed me. But you know, I'm very big about the chakras. I do chakra classes. I do mediumship classes. So yeah, I just do an array of different things. Let's see if.
Now you said you were on Saturdays. What time and where can they find you? They're asking that in the audience now.
Okay. So Saturday night, I usually go on between 5 and 5:30 Eastern Standard Time.
And Eastern USA time, that's GMT minus 4.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah, if you're wherever you are on the planet, it's GMT, Greenwich Mean Time minus 4 hours is New York time, America.
Okay.
Because I'm Greenwich Mean Time minus 7. So you're minus 4. Go ahead.
Okay. And I was going live on Facebook and YouTube, because I do have a YouTube channel, but I'm going strictly to YouTube, trying to get people to go to my YouTube channel, because I am going to be starting a podcast, you know, where I go on and I'm going to be talking about the missing. I'm going to be their voice. I'm going to go, you know, live and I'm going to show an image of them. I'm going to talk about the last time they were seen, the circumstances that is known. And, you know, so I can be the voice for them. Now, will I be given what I pick up on them? No. And it's the reason why is because I don't know who's watching. It could be somebody that could be involved. Right. And then they would know that I know this or that. So I still want to do it to be the voice for the missing.
Right. Right. And they say, I agree with that. Right. So are you also going to end up doing the MP3 file podcast version as well, or just the MP4?
Well, if I can figure it out. Yeah,
I can help you with that when we're off air, and you can do it for either low cost or no cost. Okay. There's a couple places you could do that for free. And I'll give you that, because I do that. I pay Podbean. And that goes out to the world from there, but I pay them and it costs me about $125 a year for that. But you can go to Anchor FM, literally Anchor, like a ship anchor, you know, A-N-C-H-O-R and then FM. And you can go there and you can do video or audio. And they just added that. They just, I think it was them that added that. Yeah, they added video too. So they added the MP4 and the MP3, and that's also free because it's owned by Spreaker, which is owned by another company. I forgot the name, but now they're buying up everybody.
Oh, right? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful.
So they still have that platform that's open, that's free for you to post there. So I have my podcast goes out in two different places on the MP3. It goes to Podbean and then out to the world, and to Anchor FM and out to the world. And I'm currently listened to in 70 countries. So quickly, that's why I asked, by doing the MP3 portion of it, you can quickly shoot out to the whole world and pick up a bigger audience.
Oh, that would be great.
But you can't go live there yet unless you do it just on that platform. So like I'm on StreamYard, which I pay another $125 a year for. But on here, there's a lot of perks that you can use, and this one you can download the MP3 file. You don't have to convert your own file anymore.
I use StreamYard.
What's that?
I use StreamYard.
See, okay, then you already have the capability then. When you download after the show, you can download the show on an MP4 file and an MP3 file, and then that makes it easier for you to then go anywhere and post the MP3 file. The reason I pay Podbean is because then I have the RSS number on my show. So, and when I tell people, if you want to watch my show on your app, go to my show on Podbean, grab the RSS number, go to your application, whatever your favorite place for podcasts, and they'll want you to put in my RSS number because they don't want you leaving their platform to go to another platform. So you can get my show on your thing for free, whatever the app is. And I've said that and it blew up all over the world. And I'm like, I don't even know how that got in Zimbabwe on some, on their internet, And I'm like, wow. So I'll help you with that afterwards. And someone helped me. I always pay it forward. A buddy of mine who is doing a show at the same time I do on Fridays, named Dino. His show is, what is he doing now? He's doing a late show about horror movies. Right. But he was interviewing me on his show, which was Paranormal Into the Night. And he interviewed me way back in 2015 for my books. And the next thing you know, I got the bug and wouldn't shut up. And I started a podcast. I was working for Watchers Talk, interviewing people. Then I left and started this, my own show. But they all helped me, especially Dino. And ever since then, I help everybody who's trying to get their word out, trying to start a podcast of any kind. I'm like, let me tell you how I did it, where you can do it real cheap. You don't have to pay a lot of money, and you can do it almost for free, but not quite. You have to pay for some. You already pay StreamYard, so you're already on the way, and you can do a free MP3 podcast that links to the whole world. And until if you get to a point where you're making enough money to put into that, you can then expand that and pay people. I've done that because that's how I started. I've been doing this now for 7 years.
Wow.
When I first started, I was like low budget, man.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Right. And I have no producers. I'm the producer. I'm the one man show. And I'm used to other people trying to do that because, everybody's got a podcast and everybody's trying to make it big, and they all want to get producers and directors and sponsors. Well, to get that, you have to prove yourself. I have not wanted to have sponsors, even though people have been trying to, because I don't want to give up any creative control. And so I don't want that. And then I also don't agree with some of their politics, and I'm not going to put a commercial on my show that I don't agree with. I refuse to do that. And you can't cancel me. They've tried. They deplatformed me on YouTube, and I lost over 500 shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I still have those shows on other platforms.
There you go.
Right. They don't control that. And that's the reason why I asked if you're going to MP3, and then we'll get back to you. The reason I asked that is they don't control that networks yet. So there's not much cancellation going on there. Mm-hmm. It's always the producers. So if somebody produces your show or has commercials or whatever that's helping produce it, then they'll start saying, I don't want you to say this or that. Right. Mm. But when you get onto the MP3 file, I have yet to hear anyone say, and then I got deplatformed, or then they deleted my, I've never had anything deleted that was deleted off of the big major internet providers,
Google,
Facebook, Amazon, those guys. I've been deleted. I can't even tell you how many times my show has been deleted. I have right now, I have a reel on Instagram and TikTok that if you go there to watch it, you'll immediately see where you have to click on it to see it because it says it's misinformation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I've had stuff, everything I said about COVID was misinformation until it was not.
Right.
Right. But for 3 years, it was misinformation. Then all of a sudden it became fact. Right. So, and that's happened to a lot of people. But the reason I brought that up again was in the MP3 field, when you're doing that, you're off those major platforms, and it's a bigger reach worldwide than those platforms, even though they want you to believe that those. And that's why when you said immediately, I'm taking everybody to YouTube, I was like, she's getting out of Facebook. So she already knows. And that's why I asked about that. Only reason I'm on here is because there's still people that watch here, but I get more people around the world listening to me than watching me.
Right. Exactly. Right?
Yeah. And that's why I was hoping you were going to go to the MP3 part of the broadcasting, and I can show you how to do it for cheap.
Yeah.
And then you can investigate. If you find something cheaper, let me know. Okay. Let's get back to what we were talking with you, right? I want to get back to that. So you do all these different readings. What did I just do? I just closed something here. I hit the comments. There we go. I hit the comments and it closed. I was like, what did I do? I just shut down the comments. I can't see anybody. So, okay. So you do all these different kinds of readings, but you also are teaching, right? You're teaching people how to do investigation, but you're also teaching, what other kind of stuff are you teaching besides just the, I'm looking at the audience instead of looking at you. What other things are you teaching people? Because see, I do this as well. And this is very important. So I want to go down that road.
So I teach the psychic detective. I teach anything about the chakras. I teach mediumship, psychic. And I'm looking at possibly doing, some teaching on tarot cards, because I've been asked to do that, to teach other people how I go about it, because I do it totally different than most people.
Which is good, but it's more organic, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So, let's see. Denise, can you help me think of anything else I teach?
Well, now, let me ask you this. Now, when you're teaching, do you have classes that you teach, or you teach multiple people, or do you work with people individually, or is it both?
I will do it individually if that's the only way they want to do it. But usually it's a class. Like right now, I'm getting a class together for the psychic detective. And so, and it's going to start April 5th. And it's a 6-month class, and we will meet every Wednesday for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, according to how it goes. But, I want to teach everybody that is interested in the line of work that I do. I want to give them every bit of the knowledge I have, the techniques I use, because I use essential oils. I make my own essential oils, crystals. I'm very big about, I can teach about crystals. So it's just an array of things. My Native American stuff, anyone that takes my psychic detective class, they will get to learn some Native American techniques, because I use the drum. When I'm working on psychic detective work, missing people, I use the drum. There's a lot of stuff that other psychic detectives don't do that I do, because I incorporate the Native American part into it.
Yeah, I was actually surprised, because I've always had this affinity for Native Americans. If I've been to look at me, not when I did my DNA, I found out I'm 5% Native. Uh-huh. I was like, what? My father always said that. Right. But, I wasn't sure. But my aunt, Auntie Cora, when I was a boy, we met her, and she was like the token picture from the 17 and 1800s of a Native American.
Uh-huh.
She was the leathery, dark skin. And I was like, how is she related to us? Because aren't we like Irish European?
Right.
And my father was like, yeah, but my grandmother was not. She was Native American.
There we go.
Right. So that's when we found that out. And so when I did my DNA, I found out my father was right. I was able to trace the Native American as far as it would go, which isn't really far. And because they immediately switched that over to Spanish blood.
Right.
Right. But so I was able to trace that back to Spain, but I knew that wasn't the Native blood that they were doing. And then I looked into it, and somebody said, these days there's so little amount of Native American DNA left for people to find that basically it quickly goes to the Mexican, it quickly goes to the Spanish. And I was like, that's too bad. And why is that? I want to bring up that's the little Native in me. It's only this big, but it's enough in me to go tell them why. I'm getting that. Tell them why that's important. Let's go with that, because you were talking about your story about when you were small, when you were little and you were taken and basically sold, and then moved into, ended up having a white people then adopt you and raise you, but you still had this. Okay, now why I want to focus on that. There are races on this planet that are considered Aboriginal or Native or original, and those peoples around the world are the most persecuted races on the face of the earth. And there's a reason for that, and it's not just those races, but those races have stayed in a spiritual place in their DNA that has completely been eradicated almost 100% from all other races on this earth. And those particular races are like the zebra is to horses. All other horses on the face of the earth have been tamed, except for the ones that are wild, but you can go and hop on that wild one's back and break it, but a zebra can't be broken. Okay. And all native species, the people that we call Aboriginal, original people, Native Americans to North America, Central America, South America, natives, the ones in over in Europe, they're hard to find. But you go into Australia and you find out that's where they all ended up hiding from the world in Australia. And those people, so around the world, these native peoples, even in Africa, and that's why a lot of the races that are in Africa are being beaten down by the different races that are part of the, you know, the world order, quote unquote. And the reason they're doing that, and that's why Africans were sold into slavery for so long and kept away from, because their spirituality is more in touch in a way that you don't understand. And I didn't either until I found out I was 5% and then went, man, I'm if I were more, this is crazy. For those people that are, have more than a 5% native blood in them, the spirituality that is involved in that DNA, guys, and in the attachment to this earth and to the universe itself, they're trying to destroy. And think about literally, if you were born, stolen, taken, whatever, from your parents and then sold to people. This is what happened in the modern 20th century to Melinda. Sold. And then, of course, the people were trying to stifle her. Why did they do all of that? And so you can go, well, wait, that's not just not true, Leo. Why are they doing that? They're still to this day doing that to Native Americans in this country. They just uncovered in Canada last year that in Catholic churches, Christian churches, there were mass graves of Native Aborigines that had been, we don't know exactly what was done to them, but they were all hidden and buried inside the churches. And more than one church has been found in Canada, as far as I'm understanding, four in the last 3 years, where they have mass Native graves, not just people. So it wasn't like a serial killer who was just killing people. The serial killer was killing specifically Native Americans for hundreds of years. There's a reason for that, guys, because of the spirituality that that race still holds on to and refuses to this day to give over to the, you know, to the white man or whatever you want to call me, you know, because I look European, so therefore I must be the problem. But I'm not. So and then if you look at the other races that they call, and I know some of you are going, oh, my God, he's talking politics. But this is a, there's a truism to this. If you look at when all the Africans were freed in America, what names did they give them? They gave them all the names of what they considered the slave races, the ones they're trying to eradicate. Irish last names, Scottish last names, Norwegian, Viking last names, Henderson, right? All these people, Jackson, Henderson, O'Neill, McNeil, McNabb, all these people are all these names. Why? And they, of course, they didn't let you keep your native name. If you guys saw Color Purple, right? Akunta Kinte came over here and no, your name is Chicken George. And they changed the name from your native and tried to make you wear white people's clothing and learn what they wanted you to learn. That wasn't just being done because they were dominating people because they wanted to enslave them. They were also dominating them to get rid of their spirituality.
Right, right. Okay. Because, you know, right now we're in the middle of trying to save a particular place in Arizona. It's in Superior and it's called Oak Flat. That is where we go to worship.
Yep.
That is where we, there's municipal herbs there that we use, and they're trying to take that away from us now. We've been fighting for it for, at least 7-8 years.
Yeah.
It's still the control, and it's time for it to stop. As you were mentioning about the Native children that they have found that were killed, and then like in the 1800s when they took the children away from the parents and yep. and tried to make them have white person's name, you could not speak your language, yep. all of that rips my heart in half.
Yes, agreed. That makes me want to cry even now, and I'm right. I don't want to do that on air.
It's taking everything I have.
You know what I mean? That's sad. That's horrible. When I heard that, I was like, wait, how many bodies and where?
Yes,
it was a mass grave in their archives, or were underground in their not their archives, but their, what is that called, the underground? I can't think of the name of it right now. And they were buried in there, and they found them, and then they started looking in other churches, and they found at least four churches now that I'm aware of. That's just in Canada. That'll happen here in America too. It probably has, because I know it has. But they won't tell you. They don't want you to know it, because if you knew it, it's okay if you're an American to know that the Canadians are doing it. That's them. Exactly. You're not going to be in an uproar, but if you found out our government did it, how would you think?
Exactly. And, I've got books published, and they're fiction books, but I incorporated the language and the stories, because my dad, he's Navajo, and my mom, she was half Apache, half Lakota. So she was teaching me a lot before she passed.
Good for her.
And
good for you.
I was just, I don't even know how to express it today. I'm so thankful for it. Yeah. And everything I do, everything centered around spiritual, because to me, trees, they have a spirit. Rocks
have a spirit.
Everything has a spirit.
Yep.
And people have to realize that and realize, we need to band together instead of all of this fighting and everything that goes on, because it's so, so sad.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. I remember when I was younger, my mother never had a green thumb, and she was trying to grow plants. And for some reason, she didn't know how. She wasn't very spiritually minded at that time. And I remember going into her house, and she had this plant, and she was about to throw it away. And I said, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, this plant's dead." I said, "No, it's not. It's almost dead, but it's still alive. There's life in it. I can see it." And she was like, "Well, it's going to die. Unfortunately, I kill everything." I said, no, let me have that. It doesn't want to go. It doesn't want to go. Mom, let me have it." And she's like, "What do you mean it doesn't want to go?" I'm like, "It's telling me, please save me. She's going to kill me. Let me have that plant." She says, "No. Okay, here, take the darn thing. It's going to die anyway." I said, "All right." I took it home. And then I brought it back about 6 months later. And when I came in with it, she was like, "Where'd you get that?" I'm like, "Remember that little plant that you had shriveled up? And there was this little teeny patch on there that I said was still alive, sticking out of the ground." She goes, "That is not the same plant." I said, "Yes, it is." Right. And I showed it to her. And it was this big, beautiful ivy plant, with the ivy leaves she had. And then I ended up putting it in her house up in the corner. And it got so big that I had to take and put nails along the wall. And it was growing out like this. And one day it got so heavy that it literally just fell out of the ceiling and hit the ground and broke the pot. And I go, I freaked out. I ran over and got another pot bigger and anchored it into the wall with a better anchor and apologized to the poor plant, because I know I had to put it into shock. And it still kept growing. And it grew. And it never died. I don't remember what happened to it. I think my friends took pieces of it. And eventually took it, because they were all like, "Oh my God, what did you do to this plant?" And like, I found the music the plant liked.
Right.
Played classical music, and the plant was okay. Weird, that plant liked rock and roll.
Oh, wow.
I played rock and roll, that plant grew, loved rock and roll. I'm like, when that plant becomes a human, they're going to be a rock star. And I talked to it all the time, and I spritzed it with the water. And
people
like, "Are you serious?" And I'm like, I would go up and wipe the leaves and make sure there wasn't no dust on the leaves. And that plant loved me because I loved it. And it flourished. And then it was okay with my mom, because I taught her how to take care of it. The purpose of all of that, guys, that I'm saying to you with all of this, is what's going on, is your mindset and your spiritual practices. If you're in the right mindset, you can realize what Melinda was saying, that everything is alive. There's life there. Life, just like yours.
Exactly.
In a tree, in a rock, in dirt, in the air. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to explain. Whereas people that have native DNA, they get it really quickly.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about, with being in touch with nature. You guys know it. If you go out in nature, take off your shoes and walk on grass, you'll feel the difference.
Yep.
Right. So it's important that you see that. And that's why I always tell people, you know, to look at anything is to see the face of the creator. I have a reel that shows like a person's hand in the sun is almost like floating in the person's hand.
Right.
And it actually put on there to know oneself is to know the face of the creator. But I'm showing a hand in the and Saul, our star.
Right.
You know, like he's holding it in the air when he's not, obviously. Right. But you have to do that. When you look in the mirror, realize you're seeing the face of the creator. When you're looking at a tree, you're looking at the work.
That's it.
Of the creator. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Think about the painting that was created for us.
Right.
And instead of being a 2D image painted on canvas, our creator created a place we can walk in.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Our creator created a place we can walk in, man. And so you have to realize that to do that, this place is alive 100% of it. There's nothing here that's not.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Even the bones of an animal that you've come across, there's still life in that. And to prove that, if you were to take those bones to a forensic scientist, they'd be able to extract DNA, which means there still has to be life in it. Mm-hmm. For them to find DNA, DNA means that that bone still has life in it.
And it's weird that you say that because like when I'm driving or if I'm walking, you know, and whatever, and I come across a deceased animal, no matter what I'm doing, I will pull over if I'm driving and there's a special thing I do. And I'm trying to, you know, ask the creator to please take this animal, take its spirit and you know, take care
make
of
sure it makes it where it's supposed to go, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see that, and that's natural to you. You feel like you're compelled to do that. Mm-hmm. That's because of being in touch with nature in reality. And that's the charm of making that people don't realize that the charm of making, if you saw anything from like the Excalibur in 1982 to any one of those movies where they talk about the charm of making, that is literally invoking all that is nature and time space.
Right.
And that's so you have to be in touch with that. That's 3, 6, and 9, guys. That's 3, 6, and 9, right? The three number is you. The other three number is nature. Mm-hmm. They make up the 6. And if you take your intention and put it into the nature, that becomes the 9, which is the hex boson, the God energy. Mm-hmm. That's creation. That's the infinity. 8 is the infinity when you allow the 9. Because a 9, think about a 9, what it is, and it's trying to bend back on itself, right? You know, the 9 is got that little crook at the bottom.
Right.
Well, if it's the straight one, it's almost the figure 8, but something's missing that's attaching it to become infinity. And that's literally just the creator.
Right. Exactly.
I know that for some of you, you're like, wait a minute, what did you just do here? If you were a mathematician, you'd go, oh, that was brilliant, bro.
That's right. Yep.
Right? That was brilliant. Because what is 9 but 1 and 8? Okay. So if you take the 9 and you add that 1, it becomes the 8. Why? Because you take that other stick and stick it at the bottom and touch it to the center, and now it's a figure 8.
Exactly.
Right. So if you take 9, what is 9 but 8 plus 1? So 8, infinity, plus God, 1, is 9. And that's the 9 energy, the creative energy of the universe, which is the combination of the human factor or the creative factor.
Right.
So the creator, in either a small creator, me, you, or everybody else, or the creator, creating with its energy and intention, calling on this place that was created, and putting that intention into this place. That's how it got here.
Right. Exactly. Right?
That's how it got here. And then if you want to make something happen here, you put your intention into it again. 3, 6, 9. Your three energy, your intention into the energy of the place. And then that energy becomes potentially something. And that's the 9 energy. And when it's set on its own, it's the infinity. But if you put something into it to create with that, then it becomes something. And that's where you have to realize that you're equal to nature, 3 and 3. Right. So we're equal to nature. That means nature is just as alive as we are. All of what I just said was taking you to that spot right there, which Melinda's going.
That's it. Right? That is it.
So I'm showing you guys in a mathematical way that you alive and the energy that you have is only equal to, but is in fact equal to, and you should know that, the energy that is alive in nature. They are the mirror image of us. We are a single representation of the creation and nature and time space. Everything that is here around me, my flesh,
right,
is also equal to, because it was created by the same creator. So it's equal to. The only difference is that we don't understand how it thinks. And I've seen the science that when you walk across grass, they can actually tell that the grass realizes you're walking across it and it remembers you. And the next time you walk up, the grass gets freaked out thinking you're going to step on it again.
Right.
It's alive and is aware. That's been proven in science, guys. So that's important to know. So that hopefully I'm helping you guys expand your consciousness a little bit, right? And Melinda teaches this kind of stuff and in all of these other aspects of things that she's teaching. Why? Because it's in her and it's going to come out, right?
Exactly.
So if they're teaching, let's get back to that. If you're going to be teaching these people, how can they get in contact with you? Or if they want a reading, also, where do they find you? How do they get in contact with you so that they can have that stuff happen?
So basically, I'm on Facebook under my name, Melinda Williams. Basically, what I say is I put my phone number out there because to me, that's the simplest, most easiest way for everybody, really. So I can give my phone number here. It's 480-364-3977. And you can contact me that way. We can set up a private. We can, you know, I can lead you to.
Say that again, 480. I'm going to put it in the chat.
Okay. 480.
That's country code 1, right?
Right.
So if you guys are out there in the world, hold on. I'm going to put that in there just so you know. Country code 1, because it's the United States. 480, go ahead.
364.
364. 3977. 39, you're going to get a bunch of calls now.
That's okay.
That's okay. Melinda's phone number.
I've shared it for as long as I started doing all of this stuff. And to me,
You gave it to me too in the chat. And I was like, wow, she just gave me her phone number really quick. Right. And I was like, because I usually don't give my number out to that many people because otherwise you start. That's why I was like, all right, you're going to get a lot of phone calls. Okay, guys, but seriously, it's in there. I'll put it up on the screen for those of you. But if you're listening on the MP3 file, you heard her say it a couple of times, right? That if you want to, if you want to get a reading, or if you want to have her work with you to teach you some of these things, you'd have to give her a call, or you can find her on Facebook under Melinda Williams.
Right.
You can see that on the screen, and then you guys can work with her. Now, let's go to what day did you say it was that you went live?
Saturday night.
Okay, so guys, you can see her on Saturday, and you go and you're starting to do it on YouTube. So, what is the YouTube channel that they need to find?
Oh Lord, Denise. that's what I use for Denise and them for.
Right. I know. See, though, she's here, so give her a few seconds. Denise will put it in there. She's really good.
She'll put it in there for me.
You just have to wait because there's like a 30 to 35 second lag.
Okay.
She's got to click on it real quick. So give her about a minute. Denise, get a link if you can to her YouTube channel and throw it in the chat, and then I'll put it up on the screen for people to see. So I'd have to say I always have to have people to help me work with it too, unless I have it set up ahead of time, which sometimes I do. You know, I have a lot of things that can pop up on the screen. You know. That's what I like about this place because you can do things like that, pop up on the screen, ask me questions. And you can put that in there. You put your phone number, web address.
Right.
When I was doing, I want to do a commercial about that at the end here. We have about 7 minutes because you said you can only do an hour. So we have about 7 minutes. But I want to do, and I don't know if you're interested in this. I don't remember if I talked to you about it. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, so you don't have to answer. But every year for the last 4 or 5 or 6 years now, I've been doing Earth Day. And producing a show on Earth Day. And 1 year we did 2 days. We did 12 hours a day for 2 days. I'm not planning that again. That was rough.
Yeah.
And I've done that many times. So I worked with a lot of the guys from Portal to Ascension and Watchers Talk. And we used to put on shows. Omar was putting one on that was 12 hours a day for 7 days or something. And I was I can't do that anymore, bro. There's just no way. I take care of my mom and there's no way I'm her caregiver. She's got Alzheimer's. I can't leave her sit watching TV for 12 hours. I have to be able to help her get food and everything else she might need. So it looks like, is she posting there? No, that was somebody else. Penny was putting it up.
Yeah, Penny's got it.
Penny's got it. Her, let me put it up there. She also put it in the class chat. I got the confirmation from the class chat. It came up on my screen.
Thanks,
and I was like, Penny. Whoa, There you go. So if it's on the screen, guys, for those of you out there in the world who are listening to this, because this will be on the MP3 file published to the world for my show. So it's on YouTube. So if you go to HTTP, right, HTTPS, you guys, right, // / / for those of you who aren't computer literate. Everyone, you say backslash now, people go, what does that mean? Well, there's a forward right. slash, /, and that one's a /. Okay, youtube.com/@, and it's all one word. Let me get my glasses on here so that I can read this to you without without any problems here. Have my reading glasses on. @, and it's Psychic Detective M. Williams. So I'll spell that for you. PSYCHICDETECTIVEM, as in Mary, WILLIAMS. So youtube.com/@PsychicDetectiveMWilliams is her channel on YouTube that you'll want to go to and tune in on Saturday nights. And what time did you say that was again?
I usually go on around 5:30 Eastern.
5:30 East Coast America time. Right, East Coast America time, guys, on Saturdays, right around there. So if you tune in somewhere between 5:15 and hang out and wait until about 5:30, she'll hit the bang and she'll go live. And you guys can watch her go live because that's actually important to do. So I want to do get back to Earth Day. So those of you who are been asking me, I'm going to talk about tomorrow. It was on my show again tomorrow as well. Yes, we're doing Earth Day this year. Yes, I'm planning it. It is April 22nd. We'll be doing it on the day. So wherever you are on the planet, it's going to be on April 22nd, America, California time. Not sure what time we're going live yet. We don't have anything set 100% because I'm working with trying to figure out who's going to be on and how many people are going to be speaking and on there. Because I don't want to make it too big, but I also want to give people at least a 3 or 4 hours worth of content. It's looking like we have 4 or 5 people that are going to be on. I haven't confirmed a lot of that, so I'm not going to give any names yet, guys. But if you know me, the usual suspects, Peter GV, Peter Kyle, probably Jacqueline Taylor. It looks like Cassie is going to be on there. And I'm not exactly sure who else. And Melinda, you're always welcome if you want to come on and talk there and maybe do readings or something for your native. So that would be bad. Ass, okay. Pardon my American, to have you on there doing something for Earth Day. One of the things that I've done in my life was more native-minded and oriented on Earth Day. I remember going to a place where I grew up where they had this pavilion. It was called the Concord Pavilion in the city of Concord where I grew up. And it was this big amphitheater. And they had this Earth Day festival. But outside of the amphitheater, up on a big hill, about 200 yards away from the amphitheater, Native Americans would set up and they would do a drum circle and all kinds of stuff. And anybody that wanted to go up there could go up there and you could either buy stuff because they would sell stuff. But you could go up there and you could talk to people and get more history and have this whole Native experience. And I used to go and I would pay money to go in there and I'd go in there and get something to eat and something to drink and I would leave and I would go and be with the Native Americans most of the day.
Love it.
And we all go over there to get food unless they were selling some good Native food, which sometimes they didn't. I would eat that. And so I ended up, I was always drawn to the native stuff. In fact, I kept being told 2 years ago when I was doing Earth Day, I literally was putting together videos and I was told back off of the Native stuff, dude, because it's supposed to be a World Earth Day. And I was focusing all on Native American spirituality for the United States. And there were some people when you might offend some people. And I was like, but it's Earth Day. And natives know more about Earth Day and than anyone else. So I was always outvoted on all my shows and I couldn't do much for it. And it bugged me and I started just ignoring people and people around the world were like, that's totally cool. Because I have to say, speaking of native stuff, if you've never in your life heard Native American flutes or any ritual using those flutes, I suggest to you, I don't care what your spirituality is. I don't care what your nationality is, because if you listen, I'm getting gooses, getting chills just saying this. If you go to YouTube and just type in Native American flutes, or Native American flute ritual or uh-huh. or whatever, and a drum circle. I used to go to drum circles.
Oh yes,
I've been doing that for 30 years. I love drum circles, and I they were inspiring. And I know I'm holding you a little bit longer than you wanted.
That's okay.
But I would go to these drum circles, and here I am, GQ white guy from Europe, right? And they would be like, no, you're okay. Sit down, and they would give you a rattle or a drum. I'm like, how do I know what to do? And they're like, you're going to know what to do. You'll know. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you will know what to do. And I'm like, I don't know how to play a drum. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
And I remember I was 21 years old, and I had never played with a drum. I was in a band, and I played a guitar, and I sang. And I was in choir my whole life. But I never played the drums, and a buddy of mine was a percussionist, and he loves it, still does to this day. And he was like, dude, you'll know. He's like, it's not the same. He's like, but it is. It's like when you play the guitar. I was like, okay, whatever. So I sat down, and I was like, okay, I'll do this, right? Well, of course, when you walk in, I was saged, right?
Right.
In and of itself, if you've never been smudged with white sage.
Oh, yeah.
Especially American white sage. Uh-huh. Have somebody do it.
Oh, yes.
If that's going to set the tone as it is. That's going to clear all of your chakras and clear uh-huh. all everything off. And you're already going to be not high from smelling it. Everyone goes, you just get high from smelling it. No, you don't.
No,
you don't. It's not that. It's a different thing that happens. And then I got this drum and I sat down and everybody was sitting there. And you would think, because everybody says, you know, like the Kansas City Chiefs go, ha-ya-ha-ya-ha, which that in and of itself, that little prayer that you guys don't know is a prayer.
Right.
is to the Native Americans what Om is to the Indians exactly. in the East. Mm-hmm. And so that little one that people think is just this, ha-ya-ha-ya-ha, ha-ya-ha, right. it actually has words that mean
it's
actually the Om, and it actually changes your spiritual mindset. But there's others that are, why I said this, that's the most simple and basic. And it's like literally learning, you get this feeling that comes over you. And people started, one person who was a native person started and set this rhythm with the drumming. Right. And they're like, you can do whatever you want. And it was this experience, guys. If you've never experienced it, I'm telling you. And the reason I'm telling you is because Melinda being far more native than I am, she's, look at her.
Because I have
21 years of age and I got hooked on going to drum circles because of this. I sat there and I was listening, and the person looked at me and said, close your eyes and just listen. And I closed my eyes and I was sitting there and I just started hitting the drum. And at first I was like, this is just, I'm off. And the next thing you know, other people were shaking the rattles and hitting the drums. And I was like, oh God, we sound like a crappy band. And everybody was doing that. And then all of a sudden, something changed in the vibration and everyone was exactly in time. And I opened my eyes and everybody had their eyes closed as well. And everybody was in time and they were changing. There was a song that was being played.
Right.
Changing of the beat, faster, slower, double hits. And everybody in that around there was 30 of us. And every single person with their eyes closed were all of a sudden. And then one of the natives started going with, at first, with just the normal, next thing you know, they were dancing around us and they were doing all this other chants and everybody was ravenous. We were just perfect. And we were just hypnotized by the spiritual mind of the world. And we all went, and when we got done, everybody went, oh my God, that was the greatest experience I've ever had in my life.
Right.
And everybody, we were perfectly in tune, perfectly in time. And we were following everything that person was leading us. And the next thing you know, we have this music coming out of us and people were dancing and the sounds of the chants. And then the flute came in and we were gone. When the flutes start, you're gone. So if you guys can ever see that, and Melinda will tell you, look at her, she wants to say something. Go talk. Shut up.
Yes, what I wanted to say, I have the huge ceremonial drum.
Oh, nice.
And I know how to play it. I've got the hand drums. I can play those. And I can play the flute.
Nice.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just a very magical time whenever.
Tearing the flute by itself. Yes. You know, I hate to call it a pan flute, but it is in that style.
Right.
But they're different, you know. I watched a guy do that. It was a native ritual that they were doing, and they were in full dress. Mm-hmm. And I watched him do that, and he had like four different ones, little one, yeah, and then these big ones that were this big around. And if you guys have never experienced that, I would say in your lifetime, one of the things you should experience, and if you witness that in real life, mm-hmm, you will see why I said earlier about why the Native Americans have been tried to be stifled and stomped out of existence on the North American continent and around, yep, the world, because their tie to nature is a bond that is completely different. And all of us have that within us. And this is what, right, Melinda was trying to get across earlier, but I kind of went away from that and I wanted to go back to it. All of that, all of you out there have that within you. And that was actually the theme of the video that I was telling you about off air, mm-hmm, where he was talking about just this language we're speaking was designed. This what we call English was, mm-hmm, designed to dumb you down and keep, right, you out of the spiritual. But there's a code in it. And he shows the code mathematically that is in everything, which is why I said in the beginning, watch my intro, because if you know the math, he was talking about that code that, right, I show you that in my opening song. And the code that's in there is actually, it changes the language, even though it was designed to try and make us stupid and dumb us down spiritually. The English alphabet, he shows that the English alphabet going forward and going backwards actually is 3, 6, and 9 and is in all 8s and 3s and 9s and 6s. And that's it. And they're all multiples of that going forward and backwards. So, and it's actually a type of math that they figured out. And then when they apply it to everything, they realize that this, the God code, right?
Right.
Is in everything and that it's there. So that was the video I was watching. I was like, I teach this and didn't even know there was a guy out there who made this video to tell the world. And he was speaking before an audience of all kinds of people. And I'm like, see, that makes me feel good. Cause I never read any of the equations that he was talking about, even though I was a physicist. So I read some of the history. So I did have some of the, you know, Aristotle and, you know, uh-huh, Da Vinci and that, but I didn't realize how many people were waking up to that. And so there's, right, on the small scale, spiritually, you guys are out there, you're tuned in. And Melinda's one of those people that's doing this exact same thing. And she's in tune and she's trying to show you guys and help you guys, uh-huh, yes, to learn this stuff. Right.
And something else I would suggest if you're really wanting to learn a lot more as far, because see, like I said, I incorporate a lot of Native American into what I do. Like in my class, I'm going to have them, they have to listen to the jingle dance. They have, right, to
listen to, oh, the, you didn't dance, even get to that. Please go with that. Oh yeah. I didn't even get to that.
Yeah. So there's going to be the jingle dance. There's the butterfly. There's, yeah, the warrior. Yeah. There's the traditional, women's traditional. So all of these is incorporated.
Nice.
So nice.
I didn't even go that deep. I'm glad you did. Guys, that's another thing too. The jingle dance is another, it's basic, but it's really powerful. It's, you know, the only thing that's akin to that is how you feel, and no matter what race you are, during, mm-hmm, Christmas, and they use the jingle bells, yes, for Santa Claus. The where that came from is the jingle dance. Mm-hmm. That's where that whole entire thing came from. So if you guys have ever heard that Jingle Bells, not the song, but that song is actually written in the same mathematical equation, right? Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. And because the jingle dance is that cadence.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't know that. That's where they got that. But when you hear the jingle bells of the Santa Claus sleigh of the reindeer, mm-hmm, that the jingle bells themselves, that whole ideology goes back thousands of years, and only natives, and that's why the natives that were here in the United States and in Europe, and that's why I was showing you the tie earlier, are very similar, and that's why they were considered the slave races, because they, right, don't want you to know what they still know and have hidden from the rest of the world, and they're trying to teach to the world. And I didn't get that far into the jingle dance, but you guys should look at that too. I love that you brought that up.
Yes, the jingle dance is very amazing. Yeah. And, you know, like you were talking earlier, and you said that, you know, how back in the 1800s, and those trying to, you know, shut us down is what, yeah, I call it. And they were doing the ghost dance.
Yes. Yes.
And the ghost dance is a very beautiful thing, but they were looking at it as something bad. Like we were going to go to war, or, you, yes, know, we were causing, and it was the ghost dance is beautiful, and the coming of age ceremony.
I've seen that. And, you know, and the whole thing is, it's just like the witch's hammer. which that's the English translation of the Latin, which it was written under. Guys, if you don't know what that is, with during the Salem witch hunts, the people here in the United States were trying to shut up women or any free thinking, but specifically free thinking women who in any way were not towing the party line they were trying to teach. They had a book that was called The Witch's Hammer, and it taught you how to shut people up. And they used that against the Native Americans as well. And that's, they wanted to stifle you from anything. And what Melinda's talking about here is they were doing the ghost dance, and the white people didn't understand it, but they, again, didn't care. It was about control and keeping the natives from doing anything that was native, because they wanted to put them into white men's clothes and teach them to speak English and eradicate their religion and their spirituality and anything that was a practice that was out of the norm, what they called the normal, which was what they wanted everybody to be. So they of course would attack the natives and slaughter the village, even when they were on, you know, reservations. I used to live in Queen Creek, Arizona, which is, you had to go through the Apache Nation to get there.
Yes.
And I was only 20 minutes from Apache Junction, which was famous and named Apache Junction because that was the Apache stronghold. That was the folders right below Four Corners. The Apache and everybody owned there, the Anasazi, the Apache, the Hopi, in the Four Corners. So I only lived about 400 miles from the Four Corners down there in right below Apache Junction in Queen Creek, right up against the Sedona, literally the Sedona Mountain in the Sedona Desert. So that whole place, I wish I would have gone to Sedona, Arizona, which is in the north. My God, I heard the energy there is insane.
It is, I love it. It is an amazing place.
Right?
It is an amazing place.
Everybody who's ever been there, Drumvalo Melchizedek lives there right now currently, but I've known a lot of people that live there, and they're like, oh my God, dude, you have any Native blood in you, and even if you don't, you need to come to Sedona someday. So I have never gone, but I lived for 5 years down over there in Queen Creek, which is way out in the desert, right?
Yes. Yeah, I lived in Gold Canyon, and I lived
in... That's not too far away. That's one of the ways, but not too far. Right. For Arizona, it's only a couple of miles, you know, country miles away.
Exactly, yeah. I lived up in Payson.
Okay. So you lived in the native country.
Yes.
That was used to be Apache land, of course, where I lived.
Right.
Right, but to get there, you couldn't get to Queen Creek without, no matter how you went, you had to go across some reservation to get to that. It was surrounded by all the reservations, mostly Apache and Hopi reservations. But just to get there, you had to go across the reservation.
Right. And how I was talking a few minutes ago about Oak Flats, that is in Superior, Arizona.
Okay.
And there,
I know where all that is. Arizona, even though it's huge, people think it's small. It's not.
It's not.
Learn what a country mile is if you live in Arizona. You go to Arizona.
Exactly.
That's insane, right? So, I was 45 minutes. For those of you who are going to look on a map, find Phoenix, Arizona, and go southeast 45 minutes at 65 or 75 miles an hour. You'll find Queen Creek on the other side of Chandler.
yeah, that's true.
But we were far out there. People would say to us that lived in Phoenix, you guys are so far east, you should be rezoned into New Mexico because you're so far out in the desert.
right. And, you know, so it's a big thing right now. We're fixing to have to go to the Superior Court to try to save Oak Flats. It's not our first time around.
Yeah.
I think it's the 21st of this.
How long have you been there? Now I'm being Arizonan. How long have you been in Arizona?
Well, currently I'm in Tennessee.
I knew that, but you were in Arizona before, right?
Yes. I lived in Arizona off and on. Probably half of my life was spent.
So were you there back in 2015 and 16 when the whole thing with the horses happened in Arizona?
Yes.
Do you remember that? I was there when that happened. For those of you guys who don't know what was going on, the government had land, and on that land, horses were wild on that land, and the government decided the horses need to go. And then they were moved to a national park. And then the government decided they needed to go from there, and they were going to round up the horses and basically have them all killed and basically turned into glue or food. Right. And the people, started by the natives, started by the Apache and the Hopi, didn't want that to happen. And it actually almost turned into a civil war between Arizona and the United States government.
and see, that's what I'm afraid is going to happen with Oak Flats. We have been fighting for that. Like I said, Winsler, he was chairman. So I'm going to say in 2011, that's when John McCain, he was senator at the time in Arizona.
Right.
And they slipped in a bill so the mining company could take Oak Flats. And so now we've been fighting to try to keep that from happening.
Yeah.
And we're nearly on our last straw of trying to save it. But if they do that, it's going to desecrate Apache Leap.
Of course.
And all of that. So,
and you know they're going to try it. I hate to go politics on you guys out there. If you don't know what we're talking about, this government is still hell-bent on, and it's not just this government, it's all governments.
Right.
They're still hell-bent on destroying anything that's native. And they continue to still try and do it. And that's what I liked in Yellowstone, the TV series. They're actually bringing that native. In fact, my book, Orion Rising, had natives in it, had native shamans, and they play an integral part. In the first book, which is the only thing I have published right now, which you guys can see on your screen up there in the corner, other way, over there in the corner on the top right, I actually had Native Americans that had play a very large part in the spirituality in that book that you only get a glimpse of in the first book, and I haven't written the rest of the stuff. But I did that on purpose because it actually takes place partly in Queen Creek, Arizona, and the book takes place, a lot of it takes place in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, which is very native and would still be native land had you know the South not taken it away from the natives, and then the North, when they won, have continued to try and take it away. But the Native Americans in that show are working to keep their land, but they also showed how they were euthanizing Native American women, and so they couldn't have children. And then that television show that takes place in Arizona in the 70s, I forgot what it's called now, but it was on the air, and they did season one. I think they're going to do season two, where it took place in the 70s, and it was on the reservation, Apache land, or no, Hopi. I apologize to the Hopis out there who just got mad at me. On Hopi land, and they're also showing the same thing, how the government is doing to natives at the time, but the natives are fighting to keep their land and keep their reservation, which they did do, because it's actually based on true story, which they did do, and it's still there. But why is all that important? You know, yo man, now you've gone native, Leo. Why is that important? That's why I like that they did Dancing with Wolves, because he was native, and that was a true story as well. Mm-hmm. It's hard, guys, to not learn about the plight of the Native Americans or any native species on this planet that has been attacked and tried to genocide, tried to be wiped onto the people, the African Americans, Native, especially the Native Americans, the Aborigines in Australia, around the world. And you have to ask yourself these questions. Why is it that there are certain races, the Hebrew race, the Native race, the African race, the Aboriginal race in Australia, and of course, all of the Viking race, why is it that all these other races that are centrally located in the world, to Germany and Italy and North Africa and the like, that were these big giant empires, why were they attacking all these other smaller groups that were larger in population, but smaller in stature? And that's because they literally are peoples that are still to this day can't be broken by society and their spirituality. And I was so drawn to it my whole life. And my dad was telling me, I was like, we don't look native. So when I did my DNA, I was like 5%. My God, if I were more, you guys really must have it bad. You know, you got it from both sides of your family. So I don't know what your percentage is, but from what you're sounding, I'm pretty sure it's pretty close to 100. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I took more from the Navajo side. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm actually learning Navajo, by the way.
Really?
That language I thought was going to be hard to learn, but in truth, because of learning Gaelic, learning Navajo, and I'm going, wow, these languages are, there's a certain, I can tell the guy talked about language, and I know let me know when you need to go, because we're already 20 minutes past, you said an hour, and we're already 20 minutes past.
Okay. So
when you got to go, let me know, and I'll be gracious and not just keep babbling on. But the guy in that video that I was watching was talking about language and the cadence of language. And this is where I'm going with this, because if you hear Native Americans, I love the ghost talkers, isn't that what they called them?
Yes.
The natives, the Navajos, The Navajo Nation, during World War II, for those of you who don't know the history, they hired Indians, Native American Indians, who spoke Navajo, and they were actually the Code Talkers. That's what they were called. You can see the movie Code Talker, that was based on a true story. And they didn't even have code words. No. They just used their normal language and spoke it, and no one in the world could figure out what the hell they were doing to break the code. And they were just speaking Navajo. And the reason that I bring this up is the cadence, what I just mentioned, the cadence of a language. English doesn't have a really intense cadence. And I know it's my first language I was taught. So some people will say that it does, but it doesn't have the same cadence. Like if you hear Swedish or Finnish spoken, and then you hear Navajo spoken, if you could find somebody who speaks Apache and hear that, because a lot of the Apache just started speaking Spanish, and a lot of the natives kind of started doing that. They started speaking Mexican. That's where it came from. And that sucks, because if you find these people who speak Mayan, but you know, these other native languages that are still there, when you hear the cadence of how they speak and the words, it's a harmonics, it's a resonance. It's very spiritual. I'm learning 22 languages on this earth right now, and the languages that appeal to me are always the ones that have this cadence that is, and it just flows in a way that I always saw weirdly spiritual. And then I see this video of this guy who actually says there's a reason for that. Right. And words have the same meaning. And I knew that with spell casting and because of the cadence, and they know this in the religions, when they chant, and even the Catholic Christian faith, they used to do things in Latin and they used to chant. And why are we so in tune to sound? And that's important to a question that you guys should look into, because it has to do with your spirituality and the harmonics of you and the universe and how this place works. And the natives knew that and still know it. And that's one of the reasons why these people are trying to commit genocide on any group of people that still has that connection to nature. Right.
So in the final thing, because I do have to get ready and go.
No, it's okay. It's already getting later, and I'm usually not on the air today, so I need to go. That's why I said, whenever you want to stop, just stop me.
Okay. I wanted to show a couple of pictures, if I can, from my phone, because the last thing I want to go off with is, of course, I always think of my people, and so Oak Flat is very important to me, and I want, if anyone can pray for us to outdo the government so we can keep this as a sacred spot. But here,
if there is a website they can go to or anything where they can donate money to help that fight, please tell us what that is. We'll put it up on the screen too.
It's Apache Stronghold.
ApacheStronghold.com, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, so you guys can go there and you can find the information. So if you want to put something up on the screen, go ahead. I can put you into full screen unless you can share it.
It's on my phone.
That's okay. Then just hold it up and I can put you into full screen like that.
Okay, this is a sacred site that's on the Apache land. This here is in the area where Geronimo was held, and they put up a spiritual statues representation for Geronimo and all the ones that was held captive. Now, I want to show you a picture of the person, and Denise will know who this is. Okay, this is Winslow Nosey Sr., and he is the one he's in the major fight to save Oak Flats. He has been in the forefront of this ever since it started. Okay. And I was there alongside of him for quite a while during it. So please keep him in your prayers. He is going on the 21st to go and try once again to the Supreme Court to save Oak Flats. So if everyone could keep Winslow in your prayers, it would be greatly appreciated.
Do me a favor, Melinda, please, after we're off air, or send me both of those pictures, because tomorrow on my show I'm going to put them on as well and talk about that.
Okay.
And also type in the would you say it was Apache
Stronghold.
Apache Stronghold. I'm going to write that down because I'm going to talk about that again tomorrow on my show. Tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day. And I am going to be live for those of you who are out there who are wondering if I'm going to be on for St. Patrick's Day. I will, but I'm not going to be. I might wear something stupid and green. Right. I might do something stupid and green, but I will be on tomorrow, even though it's St. Patrick's Day. I will be on and I am going to be talking. And again, I'll throw the commercial out there to help if I can, to get it, to get that out to the world as well, for people around the world I want to call to those of you around the world. For he's going on the 21st, so between now and the 21st, let's give as much spiritual energy as we can, and put the mindset of the behind him, with him, that when he goes to Capitol Hill to talk to these yahoos in court, or if he's on, in fact, Capitol Hill, wherever he's going, that they hear the reason, they hear us call, they hear the ancestors, they hear this. Even though they're going to be greedy and they're in service to self, mm-hmm. and they want to take that land because they want what's in the ground. That's right. The same in, you know, in Arizona, it's like that, because the copper and all the gold and the things are in the ground. They want the minerals. They want to rape this planet mm-hmm. for its minerals, when they don't have to do those sort of things, but they want to do that. And so that they don't care who the land belongs to. And, you know, you have to remember that the native thinking has always been, nobody owns the land. The land is the universe's land. And because of that, they laughed at them and said, then we're going to take it from you, and tried to brush them aside. They're still trying to do it. They're doing it again. Guys, get behind the idea that this needs to not happen. And the reason I say that is, you guys need to learn, and this is what Melinda knows, and this is why she's calling for this. She knows that with enough people mm-hmm. realizing that we're in charge, exactly. we have the power, we are the creator, we have the say-so. When the government tells you that they can do whatever they want to do, that only lasts until the people say, no, and then they go, oh, I was kidding, you know, hey, right.
hey, yeah.
don't get mad at me, and all of a sudden they back up. And to prove that, look at this banking debacle they have going on, and if everybody decided to take all their money out, the whole system crashes, and they're like, wait, No, it's everything's okay. Don't take all your right. money out of the bank, guys. So that shows you that you have the true power. Mm-hmm. They're scared to death right now that everybody's, I'm not saying to do that, okay?
Right.
Because if you like the system that we're in, unless you have an idea of how to fix one, we can't just do it. But that is an example of their fear. And that's because the people all stand up. When enough people say something and are aware of something, they'll stop and not do it. So let's get as many people with your minds. And I'm not saying go storm the castle, because on a physical way, that's not the way to win wars. Wars are never won by everybody bum rushing at, because they just shoot you down. That's not how it's won. Look at how in history, how everything was always won is by people who peacefully said no.
Right.
Okay. And look at Mahatma Gandhi. Now, did he get killed for it? Yeah, but so did Jesus Christ. See, right? So did these exactly. natives. So did Geronimo. So did these natives that we know about. They gave their life for this. Some of them weren't assassinated with a gun. Some of them were. And some of them were starved to death. And some of them were given the plague. And some of them were basically imprisoned until they died. It's still the same death.
Exactly.
Still the same way. They were controlled and they were beaten down and they were taken. The only thing they can do to you is physically take you and put you in a prison. That's it. Even when you're in a prison, they can't imprison your mind. That's what right. I'm trying to do with all the crap.
Exactly. I'm telling
you. Get behind it in a positive way. And I'm going to do this again tomorrow. I'll put it on the air tomorrow. So if you happen to be around, you want to pop in to talk okay. about it tomorrow, let me know. And I'll give you a link tomorrow. Go, hey, I'm here. I'll come on and talk about it. I'll have you come on and we'll talk about that. And then I'll do some of the law of one and go from there. Okay. So okay. The house phone's ringing, so I'm going to have to go too, because I'm going to have to call her back. That's my sister. So, guys, tune in again tomorrow. Melinda gave you the information. We had it in the chat for you to find not only the stuff for the Native Americans, but her, when she's on the air, how to get in contact with her to get readings done or to take a class. That's very important because she's teaching you spirituality in a way that is coming from a Native perspective. I wish I could claim that. I can, but it's really European Native, because that's where 90% of my blood is. Right? Right. But if I had more Native, I would change my name and go Native. I'm already going by Kilto Stormcrow, which is right. a very Native name. But people, if you look at me, you know I'm not Native American. I'm more Native, to Europe. So I can't claim like Pocahontas did, like what's her name did. She, Elizabeth Warren, claimed she was Native until she took a DNA test and went, oopsie, not a drop. right? I laughed. I was like, I'm only 5% and I'm proud of being 5% more than her. Because she claimed it. I don't tell people I'm Native American because I'm not. I'm only 5%. I'm European. But the spirituality is the same, is my point, guys, that it has nothing to do with your physical body, exactly. But it does with your DNA. And those people who have a lot of Native American DNA, like a certain person on the screen, you have a natural affinity for a religion that's not just a religion, but a spiritual way that we can unlock no matter where you are in the world.
Right.
But people that are native to whatever place they're at, African, whenever you have a DNA, whatever it is, it's in tune to that. You just have to find that. And that's what I teach. If you guys don't know my classes on Fridays, that's what I'm teaching you on Friday, is to look within your DNA. Because when you get down to a base root, you're going to find that everyone's DNA is there's only 7 strands on this planet. There's only 7 strands. And then there's a variation of those 7 strands. But it's that we say 7, but everything happens in 9s. And even scientists think there's 2 more that we're unaware of. Right. Because everything is 9. It's 8 for the infinity and 9 for the God particle, the Higgs boson. So we know 7 strands of DNA. So we think there's 2 that are undetected that either haven't shown up yet or something. We don't know, because everything does happen weird like that. There's my scientist coming out. But guys, you can unlock that. And this is what Melinda's teaching as well, is to help you unlock within yourself these abilities. Like she said earlier, and then we'll go, like she said earlier, that everybody is psychic, but not everybody's a medium, because you can be all of these things psychic if you want to be. But to be a medium, you have to learn the basics first, and then you can ascend by spiritual practice to the point of becoming that. But not everybody wants to.
Right.
So not everybody's a medium. So what she was saying early on in the show is 100% true. But you have the ability to learn abilities. Okay, and this is some of the stuff that she's teaching you as well, to learn how to read cards and that kind of stuff. It is, because that's important to learn about yourself, to get into yourself. And that's why one of the reasons why I want to have her on here to help her, if I can in any way, even if only 5 people or 2 people or 1 person goes, hey, who's this person that Leo was talking about? That, you know, and then you tell 2 friends and so on and so on and so on.
Exactly.
And pretty soon, exponentially, everybody is talking about everybody. All right, guys. So we're going to go. But tune in tomorrow. I'll be back
here
in West Coast America time to talk about the Law of One, which I'll be interpreting the Law of One, but I talk more just like we're talking now about spirituality, spiritual practice, and the learning of that and awakening that within yourself, just like Melinda does. And then we'll talk about St. Patty's Day, and we'll talk about the natives and what's going on the 21st beyond that. All right. And the 22nd of April, Earth Day. And hopefully when we get a meme together and I get a list of people that are going to be on, then I'll shoot that out to the world so you guys know. But know that on Earth Day, I am going to be putting on a show. Peter GV will be there. Peter Kyle will be there, guaranteed. I'm going to be there. And I think Cassie said she was going to be there, but I don't know who else is going to speak. And Melinda, you're welcome. Like I said, if you want to spend a little bit of time with us on Earth Day. And how we do it is you can be on there and talk for as long as you want or as short as you want. So if at some point you're like, hey, I can come in for a half hour this part or an hour here, then we come in and
okay.
We'll schedule it. And that way, you know, when I know you're going to be on, you come on, we talk, and then you got to go when you got to go, or you could stay. And that's what we do with everybody. Everybody gets to either stay or go. And each individual, if they want to talk about focus, then we all shut up and let one person focus. And then if we have a circle discussion, and then we have those scheduled as well. I'll talk to you off air.
Okay.
Let you know all that information of what we do. All right. So guys, tune in tomorrow. Thank you for being here. I love everybody. I love you guys. Please share this out. I will be posting this on the MP3 podcast shortly, probably within the next hour or so. I'll be putting that up there. So in those of you who are going to listen to it there, you don't know that until I just said this. But for those of you who do know that and you are watching this and you like to share that as well, you'll be able to share that out. Okay, guys, have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. This has been Orion Rising. I am your host, Leonard O'Neill. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good morrow, depending on where in the world you are tuning into the show. Have a great day.
Bye, everybody.